and specifically medical marijuana, and specifically in that context, there's something called CBD, which I think is pronounced cannabidiol. And so, you know, if you know, feel free to call and correct me. This is not something that, you know, I've known about THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, since I was a teenager. But the CBD in pot, or in cannabis sativa and indica sativa, or cannabis indica, I guess is what it is. I find this whole thing fascinating. I told you the story of when Louise and I went to Portland last Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving to, you know, spend with our kids. All three of our kids live in Portland. One of them actually lives in Washington State in Vancouver, and we were staying with him. And pot is legal there. And so Louise and I went to a pot store. I'd say, hey, we'd never been to a legal pot store. I mean, whoever would have known? And we used to smoke pot when we were teenagers, but, you know, throughout our adult lives, we raised three kids. We've started five businesses, really successful businesses. I mean, we started seven. One went down in flames. One kind of didn't go anywhere. But, you know, we've been working our butts off most of our lives, and so we've not been sitting around smoking dope. But it was like, oh, this would be interesting. And I tried it, you know, a month or so ago when I was in Denver, too, tried smoking the legal pot there. But I told you about that experience, the guy who had bought it the day before, because the pot store is closed at 7 in Denver, and I was there for a board meeting, and I couldn't get out before that. So the guy who bought it, he had one brand. He says, this is the high THC, and the other one is the high CBD. And he said, so well, let's try that. And we smoked both of them. I ended up like, just, wow, I am pretty stoned here. And I need to go to sleep. And so I went up and I slept really, really well in my hotel room that night. And the next day flew home from Denver. When we went to Washington State in the legal pot store. Now, you know, Louise has had and we believe is successfully treated breast cancer. I went through this thing with prostate cancer. It's all solved. But it's like this whole thing about cancer and CBD is fascinating. And in fact, here, this is a press release from PR Newswire. Press release. From a company, right? That's like just telling the world. This is from 2012. It's on the PR Newswire. San Diego, September 21, 2012. The headline, Can Cannabidiol CBD Fight Metastatic Cancer? According to the latest research, the answer is yes. Now, this is a press release from a company called Medical Marijuana, Inc., and they're traded over-the-counter. MJNA is the symbol. And they say, scientists at California Pacific Medical Center have been researching marijuana's compounds for the past 20 years, have found that cannabidiol, or CBD, has the ability to turn off the DNA that causes breast and other types of cancers to metastasize. It's the second most abundant cannabinoid in marijuana, but it does not cause the psychotropic high of THC. And then Pierre Desprez, one of the scientists, who, by the way, his current funding is coming from the National Institute of Health, the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, the U.S. Department of Defense, and the California Breast Cancer Research Program. And he says, we started by researching breast cancer, but now we found that cannabidiol works, CBD, works with many kinds of aggressive cancers, brain, prostate, any kind in which these high levels of ID1 are present. ID1 being an enzyme or a protein that promotes metastasis of cancers. So CBD in pot does not get you high. And in fact, one of the things I've noticed for years, I'm sitting here with a can of, or a box, I guess it is, of Pacific brand all-natural hemp, non-dairy beverage. And there's a couple different brands that I've used over the years. And I use it as coffee creamer, and I have, about 4 tablespoons of oatmeal in the morning, and I put hemp milk on it. And what I've noticed is that when I take the hemp milk, I don't want to say I feel better, like, smiling, because actually coffee does that to me. Coffee makes me chatty and, you know, I mean, speed, right? But I have had pain in my back since I was 20 years old and broke my back skydiving. And that pain goes away. So I'm wondering, you know, is there CBD in hemp milk? Because CBD is not the stuff that gets you high. And I'm drinking my hemp milk here. So am I doing the show high? Or at least with CBD? I don't know. But I find it fascinating. And the hemp actually has high in the hemp, in the fiber hemp. This is an article from the Schaefer Library of Drug Policy, druglibrary.net. It says cannabidiol, CBD, cannabidiol, a precursor chemical in the biosynthetic pathway of cannabis sativa, tends to exist in an inverse relationship with THC. In hemp fiber, where THC levels are very low, CBD levels are high. So, you know, they breed pot with high THC to get people high. They breed pot with high CBD to relieve pain and stop cancer. And I'm looking forward to going back to Vancouver, Washington next week for Christmas. And I had to leave my pot there, right? Because it's not legal to fly with this stuff. But this we got this really high CBD pot, Louise and I, and we smoked it before we went to bed because we don't like being high during the day. You know, it's just, and just slept like babies. And Louise has a neuropathy. She's got a pain problem that's associated with her chemo, the consequences of it. And it seemed to help dramatically with that. So I'm convinced this stuff is healthy. Now, the omnibus bill that just passed Congress says that the federal government cannot use money to interfere with states' medical marijuana programs. I think we're on the verge of a huge renaissance about this. There are over 60 known compounds in cannabis that are cannabinoids, that are in this family of things. Here's another. This is a completely separate research study published over at livescience.com. Pot smokers show less inflammation. And they're talking about C-reactive protein. This is a protein you can measure in the blood that as it goes up, your risk of heart attack goes up because it's a marker of inflammation. And inflammation causes hardening of the arteries or thickening of the arteries, and that causes heart disease. And they had these people into three groups, people who had never smoked pot, people who occasionally smoked pot, people who had smoked pot at least once in the past 30 days. The researchers found that the people who had smoked in the last month had the lowest CRP levels, had lower CRP levels than those who had never smoked the drug. Pot prevents heart disease?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And then the inflammation is also associated with cancer. I mean, this is how the uterine cancer and throat cancer from the herpes virus are caused. And welcome back. John, in Jarrett, Virginia, watching Free Speech TV on the Dish Network. Hey, John, what's up?
Hello, hello.
Pardon me while I sip my hemp milk while we're talking. So what's up? John?
You hear me okay?
I hear you just fine. Hello? You're on the air.
Okay, yeah, I know quite a bit about, I could probably answer any question you have about it.
Okay, here's my question. Am I getting CBD from this hemp milk?
Very possibly a small amount. Technically, if you drink a Coke or a Pepsi, there's a teeny, teeny amount of alcohol in there because, you know, the stuff ferments a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, the little trace amounts is not a big deal. And the CBD is a good idea, but the idea that it's going to work better without the THC, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, I've seen several articles suggesting that the two compounds potentiate each other, that when you put them together, it's a synergistic, you know, equation, that the sum is greater than the parts, than the two, the added parts.
Absolutely. And they have evidence that pot cures cancer going all the way back to, I think it's 1976.
Oh, in the 1890s, pot tincture was being sold, as a cancer cure and as a pain remedy and as a sleeping pill. I mean, it was You could buy it at Sears Roebuck and Company in 1930.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. For the first 100 years plus, there was no such thing as an illegal drug. You could get what was called laudanum.
Yeah, which was opium tincture.
Drugstore.
Yep.
You could get pure cocaine in any drugstore.
Yep.
And like that Sears catalog for pot. And at one point, you could even pay your taxes with marijuana. There were original settlers that came over here. They were encouraged by England to grow pot for paper making and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very long and rich history. And, yeah, actually, the government has known that it is medicinal. There were those people, at one point there were still eight of them alive. I think there's only one or two alive now. They were the people that got pot from the federal government in the 80s under the Compassionate Use Program, which is, if you're going to die anyway, why would we not give you a medicine that might help you because, oh, well, this hasn't been tested.
Right.
So it was called the Compassionate Use Program. There was one guy, I think his name was Irv Rosenfeld, in Florida, that was getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions I can answer for you?
No, I think you just you. I think you're doing it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
They'll always say, "Oh, if you smoke."
Well, here's a question, John. Louise has been poking around the internet and found a company that says that they're selling hemp oil that's high in CBD and is legal to ship over state boundaries. Is that true?
Well, if it doesn't have the THC, it may very well be.
Yeah. Huh.
But there again, it works better with the whole shebang. There's actually like 60 different medically active chemicals that work together.
I understand. But then there's this thing about going to prison, which is not, you know, a fond side effect. John, thank you for the call. Thanks for the information. Great to hear from you. Nice to know we have experts. We'll be right back. It's 20 minutes past them. Welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you. The other thing that was interesting, being in that legal pot store in Vancouver, Washington, was the, you know, just looking around. I sort of expected there to be a whole bunch of, you know, me when I was 20 years old, you know, a whole bunch of 20-somethings with long hair and tie-dyed T-shirts. And instead, I saw a fair number of people my own age, you know, boomers. One guy wearing a suit. Others, one guy was dressed up like a construction guy. A couple of people were just, you know, normal street clothes. There were two elderly women, I mean, like over 70, who had come in together. I think the youngest people in the pot store were, frankly, the people who worked there. And this is the recreational pot store. The woman that we talked with, you know, they've got like a sommelier, you know. She says, well, this has a lemony taste. This has a piney taste. This is more of a head high. This is more of a body high. This relieves pain. This one doesn't. You know, she knew what she was talking about. And when Louise said, you know, well, we both said, actually, you know, we're looking for something that reduces pain and helps you sleep. You know, we're not looking to get blasted. We've kind of been there, done that, you know. Still have the T-shirt someplace. And she knew exactly what we were talking about. She said, you know, a lot of people come in here and they're not looking. And this is a recreational pot store because it's Washington State and it's legal. And she said, a lot of people come in here and they're not looking to get high. They're looking for relief of pain. They're looking for something that will reduce the probability of the cancer spreading, that might stop cancer in its tracks that they don't even know that they have, you know, prophylactically, preventatively. It's an article here, 5 must-know facts about cannabidiol, CBD. Number one, it's one of the 60 compounds that are found in cannabis. The levels vary from plant to plant, from very high levels to zero. Number two, it's not psychoactive. It does not get you high. Unlike THC, CBD does not cause a high. So it's a poor choice for recreational users. Although it makes, it does not act in the same pathways as CBD. These are the CB1 receptors in the brain. CBD has a wide range of medical benefits. This is the stuff that's apparently responsible or largely responsible for. Well, here's the list. Antiemetic. Right, this is why people use this when they're on chemotherapy. It's emetic, and emetic is a drug that makes you barf, and it makes you throw up, and which is what happens when people go through chemotherapy, particularly for you know, cancer. Well, I guess most people who go through chemotherapy do it for cancer, but in any case, the biggest complaint that people have is that they're so sick to their stomach all the time that, you know, they can't get out of bed and they don't feel like eating and all that, and pot makes that go away. And I don't know that from personal experience, but I know several people personally who have used pot to deal with the nausea of chemotherapy with incredible success, greater success than any prescription drug. Okay, so number one, antiemetic. Number two, anticonvulsant reduces seizures. I've never known anybody who used it for seizures, but we've all seen the news reports about this little girl in, I think it was Virginia, who had, you know, she was having 20, 30 seizures a day, and her family literally sold their home and moved to Colorado so that they could give her this high CBD oil that doesn't actually get you high. They give it to her with a couple of cc's in the mouth as an oil, and she takes it several times a day. It doesn't get her high, but it stops her seizures. Charlotte's Web, I think, is the name of the plant that they're growing out there for this stuff. That's number two. Number three, it's antipsychotic. It combats psychosis disorders. Number four, it's anti-inflammatory. Number five, it's an antioxidant. Number six, it's anti-tumoral, anti-cancer. And number seven, it's anxiolytic. In other words, it's an antidepressant. It reduces anxiety. And they're talking about, in the UK, a company called GW Pharmaceuticals is right now doing clinical trials on CBD as a treatment for both schizophrenia and epilepsy. And another company in California, the California Pacific Medical Center, is hoping to begin clinical trials on CBD as a breast cancer therapy. Now, this was as of February 23rd of this year. So, and they note that one of the real benefits of this is that there's no risk of lethal overdose. You know, if you take benzo drugs, or if you take secanol, butabarbital, phenobarbital, what are those called? Barbiturates. If you take a barbiturate, these are typically the drugs that are given for seizure disorders. You take enough, it'll kill you. But with a pot, no one's ever died of an overdose of pot, ever, as far as anybody can tell. And number five, they say it is still illegal. CBD is classified as a Schedule I drug in the United States, a Schedule II drug in Canada. On the other hand, they note the U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently approved a request to trial a pharmaceutical version of CBD in children with rare forms of epilepsy. So, and according to the company, the drug consists of more than 98% CBD, trace quantities of some other cannabinoids, and zero THC. This is a drug called Sativex. It's been approved in 24 countries for treating multiple sclerosis. And by the way, the U.S. government, Health and Human Services, in 2003, got patent number 6630507 to use CBD marijuana to treat neurodegenerative and inflammatory disorders. This would include Alzheimer's, age-related dementia, heart disease, cancer, stroke. It's amazing. So I'm just learning about this stuff, and I think it's fascinating, and I wanted to bring you along on my learning excursion, because I think that there's exciting stuff going on here. If not exciting, at least fascinating. So if you have stories you'd like to share, give us a call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
You ever try medical marijuana? Did it work for you? Did it not work for you? I'm curious about the contrarians, you know, it didn't work for me message, too. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Elizabeth Warren zeroing in on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. That's interesting. Anyhow, your story, I'm curious. You know, it's the season for festivity. I don't know how that ties in a pot. Because I'm really, frankly, more concerned. Most of us are recreational drug users, right? I mean, most of us take coffee, take caffeine or nicotine or what are the other recreational drugs that are legal in our society? I guess that's – or alcohol. You know, most of us consume one of those three or two or three, all three of them. So we do alter our consciousness. And I'd say the other hugely psychoactive drug is sugar. And a lot of us, you know, do a lot of sugar, and we do that to – I mean, most of my life, if I have trouble sleeping, I just overdose on sugar and bang, it knocks me right out. It's really not good for you, but, you know, what can I say? And so, but in any case, the recreational part of pot, I find it fascinating, and I think it's much better than alcohol. I'd much rather smoke pot than drink alcohol. It's nowhere near as hard on my body. But the fact or the idea or the concept that smoking pot or making tea out of it or vaporizing it, which seems far better than smoking it, and the vaporizing technology is just all over the place because they're also vaporizing cigarette stuff, you know, nicotine liquids. It's just fascinating. Just fascinating. Alan in Williams, Arizona. Hey, Alan, you have a story to tell?
Yeah, Tom, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm feeling better. As I keep drinking this hemp milk, I'm feeling better. I'm sure it's placebo effect, but I'm smiling. So what's up?
Yeah, I've got a story for you. I'm 61. When I was 55, I was in a motorcycle accident and broke 36 bones all at once.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. And so I was in the hospital, and they said I was going to be in there a couple of months, but I'm an avid motorcyclist, and I went home in 10 days, and I was in a body cast and laying there in bed, and I'm on the lower tabs and that kind of stuff, and it made me sick, bud.
The painkillers, these prescription painkiller drugs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and so anyway, a buddy of mine comes over, and he says, hey, you want to hit? I'm laying in a body cast. My arms are broke. My legs are broke. I broke 6 vertebrae in my neck and 4 in my back and 2 major head fractures. So
whoa.
I'm in a body cast. And so we have a hit. And my day went from black and white to color. I can't tell you how good I felt, even busted up like that. So, of course, I told my wife, hey, honey, we got to have some of this. And it's illegal in Nevada.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you know people, you can get it.
Right.
Anyway, I started using that. I quit taking the pills. And the doctor got all mad because I'm not taking the painkillers. But I didn't tell him I was smoking pot. I just went along, okay. And I had friends come over begging for those painkillers. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And when I saw how people are addicted to them, I couldn't believe it. And but anyway, I got rid of them. And all I do is have a puff. I've got a medical marijuana card. Now I live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we have a pharmacy here that you can get anything you want, and different grades, like you said. Usually your indicas are real good for your body. They let you sleep real good.
Yeah, that's what I got when we were in Washington State, and that's the stuff that's high in CBD, and it's got a, you know, a good dose of THC in it, but it's the high in CBD, right?
That's correct, and it makes you sleep real good.
Yeah, I can testify to that, and I've, you know, I almost flunked kindergarten because I couldn't take naps. I mean, I, you know, I've been a light sleeper my whole entire life, and this stuff was amazing in my experience.
And especially so. Me. I'm 61 now, and I get aches and pains after running around all day. And I'll tell you what, bud, it helps me sleep. And yeah. I got another story. A friend of mine, he doesn't smoke. He's in depression. He's the same age. Every time I talked to him, he was just down in the dumps. And I live up here in the mountains. So I said, come on up, you and your wife, come up and have stay up here if you feel like it. They made it up here. And I told him I had marijuana, medical marijuana. And so he had a puff. And I gave him a little bit, and he took it home. And a week later, he called me, and I couldn't believe the high spirits he was in. And he wanted to know where he could get some. I tell you, it's a really great thing. I think it should be legalized throughout the country, and I just wanted to tell you that.
Okay. Alan, thank you very much. Thanks for the story, and thanks for sharing that. I don't know if I mentioned this or not on the air, but Louise met a woman here in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago. It was just one of those serendipitous things, who has a medical marijuana license or card or whatever you call it. Because D.C. has medical marijuana. And she was a young woman. She was in her 20s. And she said that she had ADD, attention deficit disorder, right? Or ADHD, hyperactivity, so badly that she couldn't work. She had trouble making it through school. She was on Ritalin. She was on, all the drugs. There was two or three different drugs that they had her on. It wasn't working. It was making her jittery. It was making her crazy. She started using medical marijuana for her ADD. And she's now able to hold a full-time 40-hour-a-week job and relationships and all the stuff that she was having a real struggle with before. This is starting to sound like, patent medicine, like the guy in the back of the truck in 1890 pulling up to town saying, I got the tincture here that'll cure anything. On the other hand, plants are pretty amazing. Josh in Melbourne, Florida. Hey, Josh.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. What's your story?
My story is a little different from everybody else, but I do have a terrible back injury like you. I've been through 5 surgeries, and I live with a pain pump in my abdomen.
Ouch.
It pumps clotted straight to my spine.
Wow.
That filled every couple of months, but as I live in Florida, and this is Pill Mill Central, there's a law here that says pain management specialists are required to test for all illegal drugs and legal drugs to make sure, one, that you're not selling your medicine, that you're actually taking the pills they prescribe, but two, that you're not supplementing with additional pain medication.
Right.
I have used pot quite a bit. It helps me a tremendous amount. However, if I come up positive on any one of these urine screens, I will be removed from the program.
Wow.
This is something that everybody in Florida deals with. Every pain patient in Florida has to go through this. Most of them have to see their pain management doctors once a month, which gives you no time to clean up.
And pee in the cup. And because pot stays, because it's fat soluble, you can even be exposed to pot, just be in a room where somebody's smoking it, and you will test positive for it for weeks, in some cases months later, right?
Correct. And that's the real travesty that's going on here. That and the... Despite a 52% vote in favor of legalizing medical marijuana, it was not passed this November because for some reason around here we require 60%.
Yeah, that's to amend the Constitution, I think.
Right.
Yeah. It's Josh, thanks for sharing the story. That's a horror story about Jeb Bush's Florida or Rick Scott's Florida now. Thank you, Josh, for the call. Steve in East Lansing, Michigan. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, man, great topic, and not to boast, but I am a expert on medical marijuana with proprietary knowledge. Okay. There's way too much for you to know just from taking callers' input, but I can say to you this. The hemp milk and other hemp products that you get in the United States, it can't have any cannabinoids in it.
Yeah.
So
this is purely placebo effect here as I drink my hemp milk.
Right, yeah, you're getting essential fatty acids and other benefits, but you're not getting CBD, THC, CBN.
Oh, well.
Now, yeah, you are a very smart man, and you're trying to do wise use of cannabis. And cannabis now is super potent because we've bred it and cultivated it to be way, way more potent than it ever was during the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, what I was reading is back in the 60s and 70s, typically THC levels were 3 to 5%, and now you can buy them in the recreational. Well, I saw some in the recreational pot store that was 24% THC. I mean, the one that bought was
10%. What I'm saying to you is this. Number one, you want to explore that there are many different ways of intaking cannabis now, not just combusting it.
Right.
Combusting, putting fire to cannabis is not helping you. You're inhaling combustion byproducts that produce subjective effects that you might think are a high. Some of what you think are part of the cannabis high could be monoxides and benzenes that produce a sedation effect, but they also produce serious damage to your lungs.
Right, and this is why you should vaporize it or make tea out of it, right?
You should vaporize it. You should make proper marijuana medibles. You can extract the active ingredients by putting your buds into sesame oil or some other oil and cooking not higher than 200 degrees. There's so much science to this, Tom. I urge you to take a look at intelligent material such as this magazine online called BigBudsMag.com,
okay,
where they explain these things. It's not as easy as you think. And I will say this also to you. Cannabis can become habit-forming. The reason that you feel something when you use it is because it's changing your internal chemistry.
Yeah.
If you use it too often, your body changes its own internal regulatory neurochemistry, and it could end up dependent on it.
Right.
So be careful with it, but it is the safest and best medicine on this planet, and that's provably scientifically true.
Okay. Steve, thank you for the call. 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So, ever tried medical marijuana? Has it worked or not worked for you? Bummer about the hemp milk. Apparently, I'm drinking Shirley Temple hemp, Shane says. Remarkable. Remarkable. Let's see here. Rich in Calumet, Michigan. Hey, Rich, thanks for watching Free Speech TV on DirecTV.
Hey, Tom. I'm a grower about 30 years. I was involved with Normal. Used to go to travel to go to a lot of rallies and things like that. Back in 91, I played with it as a kid. But back in 91, I broke my neck in an auto accident. And my physical therapist and doctor recommended that I try using cannabis again because they were really impressed on how well it relaxed the muscle spasms.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been growing. I live up here in the UP, of course, and it's pretty close to decriminalized up here.
Really? Is that it's not decriminalized in the state of Michigan?
No, just a lot of people in the legal area, a lot of people moved up here to get away from laws downstate. And that's when I moved up here, was kind of the same kind of thing. And
so the local authorities are basically ignoring state law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I had somebody get pulled over from Florida right in front of my house here a couple winters ago in the middle of a nasty snowstorm. And the officer called the state police, which brought the dope dog, and they found a small amount of marijuana on him. And the state police gave the guy his marijuana back and said, unless they look like they're dealing, we don't care. It's too much paperwork.
Wow.
And they let him go. I danced around. I did a jig, you know, woo, the second coming of Christ. And like I said, I'm legal. I've had my card, which is kind of cool. I got it on 420, which is our national
right.
Recreation time.
Right. Or date,
yeah,
or
I've
both.
I've had my card for almost six years now.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a godsend. It really has. I'm in constant pain. I have arthritis issues really bad and degenerative disc disease and the narcotics, sometimes I need them, but I try my best to stay the heck away from them because of the side effects are just appalling.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some pretty bad pain a year and a half ago when I had a frozen shoulder. I was doing this show wearing a sling. People watching me on TV were saying, you know, why the sling? And I never tried medical marijuana for it, but I was taking codeine, you know, which is a narcotic. It's an opiate. It's a fairly weak one, but it's a narcotic. And what I discovered was that when I stopped taking it, you know, as the pain went away, I dialed the dose down, and then I finally quit taking it altogether. And there was about a week there where I just felt depressed is the wrong word. I felt doomed every day. I don't know how to describe it beyond that. And I think that was just the opiate withdrawal. I was going through withdrawal from the opiates. It was no big deal. It just, you know, I just didn't, you know, it psychologically, I knew something was off. And, you know, I've never had that experience after smoking pot.
Well, have you ever heard of the book called The Emperor Wears No Clothes?
No.
Written by Jack Herrera?
No.
It's been given, since about 1972, it's been given to every president. It has a $10,000 reward on it for anybody to prove the information in it wrong. And, of course, nobody's cashed in on it because, well, it's a factual book.
Huh. remarkable. And it's about medical marijuana. Yeah. Rich, thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour here on the Tom Hartman program, and we're just kind of poking around the outer edges of medical marijuana as I'm drinking my hemp milk, which one caller tells me is actually not getting me high or taking care of my pain. I just think it is. Don't ever underestimate placebo effect, by the way. Charles in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Tom. 100% agreement with you on your assessment of the benefits of medical marijuana. Scientists in both Israel and even in the United States at the University of South Carolina are doing excellent research in this area, supporting the many benefits of medical marijuana. But additionally, Professor Hartman, I wanted to ask, if Senator Sander runs in 2016, would you consider seeking his seat? or do you feel your position today as a progressive apologist is more important than any political position, including the presidency?
Well, it's not a matter of what's important and what's not important. It's a matter of what do you do well? Because my experience in life has been that, you know, there's always more important things that I could be doing, but will I do them well? I would be a lousy politician. I would just, you know, I know my personality and my history would make it probably very difficult for me to get elected. And but I really, I love what I'm doing. I'm writing books. We're averaging about a book a year on progressive politics and economics. I'm doing this show. I'm doing the TV show in the evening. I'm having a lot of fun, and I think that I'm having an impact on the world. And so, you know, running, I'm just not inclined toward politics. But plus, yeah, I don't live in Vermont, so I couldn't run for Bernie's seat anyway. But thanks for the kind words, Charles. It'd be great to hear from you, John in Tucson. Hey, John, medical cannabis?
Yeah, I am.
I'm sorry, John. Uh-oh. John, if you can hear me, I can't hear you.
I got you.
Okay, yeah. just talk.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, here's what happened is I've had cancer a couple times. I had testicular cancer in my mid-20s, and if I didn't have cannabis at that point, I don't know what I would have done because I was a mess. I lost 60 pounds off from the chemo. It was crazy. Currently, I have stage 4 small cell lung cancer, and they put me on something. They thought it was working, then it wasn't working. So I kind of knew after doing my research, my odds were I got a death sentence. I take a gram of cannabis oil a day now, and my cancer is halfway gone. And the markers that show that what's feeding the tumors is way down. Essentially, we're starving it right now. We're making great progress. My doctors are stunned. They don't know about the cannabis. They think I'm still taking the two chemos that they've had me on. But I don't take any of the pain pills they gave me. They gave me jars of this stuff. I don't take any anti-nausea stuff. I'm fine. In fact, I'm back on my bicycle. I'm walking again after I lost initially.
So wait a minute. You're talking stage 4 metastasized lung cancer, and you've cut it in half by taking cannabis oil?
Yeah.
Is this cannabis oil from a pharmacy or...?
No. I have somebody that's taking care of their father who's brewing it, and I help with their costs, and I get the oil, and we encapsulate it in with a little bit of coconut oil inside it, and we've fuddled around with the dosage thing, but I've got it down now. I'm down to a gram of this stuff a day, and initially knocking me off my feet, you know, but then you get used to it, and you basically chart your day and get on with life, and I'm doing fantastic. I feel great. I'm having a wonderful time. I bought season tickets to the University of Arizona football this year as to get me through those 6 months. They gave me 6 months to maybe a year, and I'm going for the long haul here right now.
Well, good on you, John. Keep us up to date on how it's going, huh?
I will do. I'm a big fan of you guys.
Okay.
I'm on WCPT Online. I'm a big fan of those guys, too.
Great. Well, thank you for listening to us there in Tucson, John. I appreciate it. And thanks for sharing your story. It's fascinating. Rick in Eureka, California, listening to KGOE. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to share a story. I, like a few callers ago, am 61 years old. And back in 1998... my dad moved in with us. He was a World War II veteran. He was on the ground in Nagasaki after they dropped the second bomb. He was on the ground about 7 days after they dropped it. And from then on, he had health problems.
Because of his radiation exposure?
We don't know for sure because the government wasn't really forthcoming in really being cooperative with any sort of analysis. Mm-hmm. But my older brother, when my dad got sick in the mid-90s, my older brother took care of him until he could no longer do so. I was in the position to take care of my dad, so he moved in with us. And about a month and a half, 2 months after he moved in with us, Dad shut down. He stopped eating, and he was not a large man in the first place. And so after a few days, I started to panic, and I needed something to restart his appetite. So I went down to a local dispensary, one of the first one or two to open in the country after California passed Prop 215. And my dad, being of that generation, there's no way he would ever knowingly smoke pot. So I obtained a liquid tincture, and I, unbeknownst to him, I put an eyedropper or two full into his tea one morning, served it to him at the bedside, went into the kitchen and started cleaning up. And about 20 minutes later, out of the side, my side vision, there was this figure there, and it was my dad standing in the dining room. And he had not been out of bed in a few days. And so my dad stretches, and he goes to the window and lifts up the blinds and looks up out into the backyard. And at this point, I got smart, and I started cooking. Cooked him a huge breakfast. He ate everything that I served him. Mm. And I kept him on the tincture for another week or two to make sure that his appetite had its momentum back. And Dad lived almost another 2.5 years after that.
And did he continue using the pot during that time? And did you tell him? I mean, giving people medication without telling them seems a little sketchy.
Well, I at this point was pretty desperate.
Pretty desperate. And, did he continue using it?
No.
You just used it to get him through a crisis.
Right. And made sure his appetite had its momentum back.
Fascinating. That's almost a double blind study, at least from his point of view. Rick, thanks a lot for the story, and good on you for taking good care of your dad. We'll be back